We know now that the science really has caught up with what mystics and prophets and, you know, all of the biggest, the tenets of the foundational spiritual truths of this journey of the heart, that science has now, you know, cardioneurology has now caught up with these spiritual truths, that the heart does have a memory. You know, I take people on a heart meditation into their emotional hearts. The minute you bring the heart into the work, it changes everything. And that's because, yes, you're opening the memory of the heart.
Hi, I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Each month for the Add Heart podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing people who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. And this month, I'm talking with Estelle Bingham, a therapist and author who, like HeartMath, leads people into the deeper intelligence of their hearts. And Estelle helps people learn to trust the wisdom that lives beneath thought. I love that expression. The part of us that already knows, feels, remembers who we are, our true heart. Welcome, Estelle.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited to share some time with you.
Still, you talk about how the heart is underneath the stories we tell ourselves. How do you help people do this? And can you say more about that?
Yeah, Debbie. So what I have really, I've discovered in my work over the past 20 years, working with thousands of people from all walks of life, is that we bury our stories in what is the emotional heart. So when we aren't able to, we can't process the stories of our childhoods or the patterns, the things that, you know, have happened to us as teenagers, or even, you know, onwards and upwards into our lives, the trauma, the all of these pieces, we stuff them away into what I call the emotional heart. And you know, the psychologically we can understand this as the shadow, but it's actually the emotional heart. And so when we sort of dip into our truth and we start to process and get in touch with our feelings, and we can go into our hearts to do that, it's incredibly profound. So we go into our hearts and we touch into old grief, old stories, old shame, all of these parts of self. And when we clear them in the container of the heart, it's really exponential. What I always say is to feel these feelings and these stories through the heart means that we can really transform them. And underneath that is what I call the mystic heart or spiritual heart, so, or the true heart, really. But it's a process, and the heart has this profound wisdom. When we drop in and we, you know, this return to self, this return to the spiritual heart is, it's a process, but a beautiful journey.
Do you see the emotional heart in a way where it's storing memories in the heart itself, or how the heart and brain interact? How do you see that?
Yeah, so my understanding is that it does, you know, and what I love about HeartMath, you know, when I discovered HeartMath, it was such a wonder to me, because obviously we know now that the science really has caught up with what mystics and prophets and, you know, all of the biggest, the tenets of the foundational spiritual truths of this journey of the heart, that science has now, you know, cardioneurology has now caught up with these spiritual truths, that the heart does have a memory. And what I find is when people come to see me, or they, you know, join a retreat, or they're looking to come back to themselves in some way, you know, often people turn up and most people are out of body. I find most people are really in their heads, or, you know, and out of their bodies. So again, what we know from somatic therapy is, you know, Peter Levine really, he's moved that whole idea of getting back into the body, feeling, your feelings, you know, giving permission for your feelings to emerge. And I find that when we center, when we actually bring that meditation, bring the work into the heart, and we, you know, I take people on a heart meditation into their emotional hearts, and they can get in touch with these parts of themselves literally in minutes. So if someone arrives in a session for an hour, and they can actually, they've been in psychotherapy for years, but the minute you bring the heart into the work, it changes everything. And that's because, yes, you're opening the memory of the heart. It's whole, it's storing that energy for you, that all we have to do is show up and listen.
How do you help people actually get past the noise, listen to their heart's wisdom for answers instead of asking the mind for answers or getting confused between the two?
Yeah, so, you know, the separation of separating ourselves from the noise, the ego, you know, the ego mind, really, I would say it's a language, and it's all about, it just means it's about showing up and having the practice of showing up to your heart every day and just allowing. So in my book, I talk about, very similar to heart math, just this dropping into heart, just allowing, you know, even those few moments where we just bring ourselves into that coherent state. This wisdom will, like a wisdom voice, you know, get stronger and stronger every day. And you are able to differentiate between the noise of the mind, the triggers, old stories, and kind of evolve really the consciousness. You know, you're evolving your understanding of self. And this heart mind grows louder, and it has its own fragrance, or its own sound, or its own sense, and it's a new sense, and it's just, but it's a knowing. So when we, it's like you build a relationship, and as that relationship grows, I say it's like using a muscle. You know, you go to the gym every day, and you build that bicep, and if we sit with the heart every day, we will grow that wonderful relationship that, you know, is more profound than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, I like that. We talk about the heart has a different tone, similar to what you're saying, and it's truly a different frequency. And you begin to, with practice, recognize the difference. And even being able to ask the mind what it thinks about something, and then actually shifting to the heart, and then asking the heart how it looks at the situation, and then looking at the two, we teach that methodology in our courses, and it's always has people go, wow, now which one was more intelligent? And they all can see that the heart's wisdom was more intelligent than the mind's fears or projections. And I found that a very useful exercise even after 40 years of doing this, because there's times when there's things for any of us that we're not clear on, and doing something like that can really help you drop deeper into the heart connection and that heart tone and get clarity.
Yeah, it's something that I always say, that the mind is a construct of the lifetime as well. It really is. You know, what happens, the noise. So, you know, we're always working with those inner voices, you know, whether they're the saboteur or whatever those archetypes are for you. And those are a construct of this lifetime. So internalized voices from our childhoods, like you say, the patterns, the triggers. And then this heart energy is really, you know, to experience it in its truth. I mean, it is our soul energy. So it has a really different, like you say, a different frequency. And it's so wonderful for people to get in contact with that frequency and feel into the difference, because it's so empowering. You know, most of us are really working on feeling like we're enough often, feeling like we're lovable. Like, what is at the root of the incarnation? Like, what does the lifetime, what is the work of the lifetime? And often it's to feel like we're enough, and that we are divine beings, and that we deserve and have a right to experience these emotions of the heart, real, true, deep love for self and for everything around us, and deep connection and a sense of purpose. And but really that you know this this that we are all channels. And really the frequency of the heart, when you start to grow it like a seed and listen, it's empowering. It's a journey back to deep self-love.
Self-love is so hard for a lot of people. They don't feel they deserve it, or the mind separates from the heart, so it makes you feel like you can't love yourself. How do you see that?
Yeah, I would say we know that the mind, and I talk about the ego, and obviously, we need an ego to be in life. A healthy ego is a good thing. Our egos get us out of bed. But at the same time, it's what is the ego? We're much more than the ego. And often we have unhealthy egos that tell us, because of the things that we've learned and the things that we've absorbed, either ancestrally, things that are handed down to us ancestrally, the epigenetics of our family lines, things that we ways that we've been, brought up, and what we've learned at school, in our collective, in our communities, about all sorts of things. They tell us, that the we're informed of how much we don't deserve. And so really the heart just is. When we drop into heart frequency, what we have access to is the sort of an infinite ocean of consciousness. And it is who we are, the center of who we are anyway. So this kind of return, it sort of doesn't, there's not many words to it, but it's a feeling, and that grows inside. And it's not something that is feels like the ego. It's a very different sense, but it's there for everyone, and that's the wonderful thing. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what race, what religion. Ultimately, heart work, will really bring you back to yourself. And it's actually there's a that the beauty of it is it's in its simplicity.
You've been called the heart whisperer. What does that mean? And to you and to others.
Well, I, the way of the heart, it sort of has I mean, I learned to meditate when I was I learned transcendental meditation when I was very young, when I was sort of 7 or 8 years old. And from there, really I've been on a path of sort of discovery, and as we all have. But really the heart for me is at the center of all things, and really always has been. A lot of people listening will find, a lot of people find themselves to this work, find their way to heart work, because they are often, we are often empaths, and we find ourselves to heart work quite easily, or we kind of, because we feel more. But actually, what I love about heart work is that it's for everyone, and even if you haven't felt anything ever before. And so I start with the heart. It's the beginning, middle, and end for me. We go in through the heart, and really, I found that where we can get to, like I sort of described earlier, in a session when I'm doing in a one-to-one session, when I'm doing a retreat, is into such deep places, and the work is so transformational. So again, if there's something, a memory in the childhood that has stuck, and you can know it, people often come to me and know their stories very the inside out. You know, intellectually, they've spoken them many, many times, but they haven't felt them and they haven't embodied them. And what the heart invites us to do, without even knowing, is it invites us to embody. And when we embody, we transform. It is from that place that we transform. And so, you know, again, there's an override that happens, and I see it again and again with people come in and they're like, I'm fine, or I've seen, I've been in therapy for however many years, or I know about my inner child, I know about my trauma or my stories, and they come in and we have like what I call a heart override, where suddenly they're in the cavern of their hearts, and they step into this place. You know, having maybe been on the run for many, many years, because often we are on the run and we don't even realize it. And they step into the cavern of their hearts, this space inside themselves. And it brings this override, and so and the tears will flow. And that is, you know, it's that's what the that's the power of the heart, that it will, where there is a dam, it will remove it. And it's not an intellectual thing. It's a felt thing and an embodied thing.
That's right. When you talk about an embodied, I know that one of the things that I found effective is when judgments come up or blocks come up, is the only you have to befriend them, you have to love them out. You have to embrace them to release them with the heart energy. It's the heart energy that transforms them. How do you share with people to embody?
Yeah, so for me, what we do is we go in to the shadow. We go into our shadow self. You know, in the what I see, it's a sort of like when we drop into the emotions, the emotional heart. And actually, I went to New Zealand last year, just for a sort of book tour. And I didn't realize this, but the Maoris in ancient Maori culture, they talk about the three hearts. They talk about the physical heart and the emotional heart and the mystic spiritual heart. So it's actually it is sort of, it sits there as a wisdom. And it's what I find is that when we go in and we explore these parts of ourselves through the heart, then we embody. So because these are parts of ourselves that we have become dislocated from, or we've stuffed away, and when we bring them into the container of the heart, this is where they melt from the power of, like you say, the sort of the compassion, the love. And also, you know, many people feel, we're taught, oh, you know, our emotions are, we're too emotional, so we grow up, there's a lot of shame around emotion. And when we bring these feelings, like, you know, an experience from a childhood where you've been told to just carry, you know, like stiff upper lip or carry on, or not express it. There's been nowhere to express the truth of the experience. When we reconnect with that in the heart, this powerful sense of compassion, you're in relationship with the two things at the same time. So suddenly you can really feel for yourself. And when you feel for yourself, you embody. And when you embody, you release. And when you release, you heal. And when we heal, we transform. And so that's how we clear the blocks. So it's that kind of bringing these things into, not thinking these things, because again, you know, that when we think about the shadow, or we think about shame, these things have been spoken about, you know, in psychology and psychotherapy for many, many years. But the bringing these parts of ourselves into the heart, the container of the heart, doing the heart work, working, you know, heart math meditation, or, you know, bringing them into this space is really, I have found, shifts things, because in very powerful ways, because of the embodiment piece.
Very well said. Beautiful. You have a book called Manifest Your True Essence, Clear Your Blocks, Find Your Joy, Live Your Truth. And you share some of these methods with people, right, in your book?
I do share some of the methods.
Wonderful. Well, I know when I was on your podcast talking about heart intelligence, because there's so much synergy between HeartMath and your work.
Yeah.
And again, the whole thing is to help people understand the power, unlock the coherent power and intelligence of the heart. That's the missing piece for humanity, because we've been so focused on the mind development for thousands of years. And the world really needs that awakening. And so I know that's why I'm delighted to have you on the podcast to share your wisdom with everybody in our audiences and in your audiences. You know, HeartMath researched a technique to try to make this easier for people that synchronizes our heart, mind, nervous system, emotion, so that we can have quicker access to connect with our heart's intuitive guidance, which is what you're talking about, the heart's wisdom.
Yeah.
Of course, then we have to step into it and follow our heart's guidance. It's not enough just to hear it, even though that's a great step. And what we found, this can be scary for people who don't trust their heart and they need help or tools to help them build that trust to make more effective choices, to see, oh, my heart really does have my best interests. How do you see this?
Well, I mean, everyone, you know, when we start this journey into self, you know, we are terrified of ourselves. And it's part of being human. There is this initial, you know, real fear of what it means to step in. And I sort of say that, you know, in the first few sessions, it's like the tsunami of self. You know, people, I write about it in the book, are often terrified of the tsunami of self. You know, if I connect with myself, what will I really find inside myself? You know, and it's this idea of I'm going to drown under a sort of an ocean of my own tears. But actually, you know, this is the when we are looking for our purpose, because often we feel so purposeless. When we're looking for our purpose, or we are looking to experience joy, because so many of us are joyless and in denial about that, or we're looking to connect deeper, you know, this coming back to the heart, you know, we've just forgotten. It is the first organ in the body. You know, we know from cardioneurology that it's this, all of this stuff that you know, the power of the heart, you know, the fact that it extends further than the brain and all of the things that the heart holds. But it's so awe-inspiring. But it's been around for millennia. Like, it's been at the center of humanity for millennia. So whether it's the master organ in Chinese medicine, whether the Egyptians would always bury you with your heart, nothing else, because it was, that's what held the power of the soul. You know, Sufis, it's the alchemy of the heart. Christ talks about the heart. Like, it's, but this separation with this master organ, this organ, means it really correlates with the separation that we, you know, how we find ourselves, a humanity finds ourselves right here, right now, in this moment.
Right.
And we need our hearts online as a collective more now than any other generation in all of the generations of all of our ancestors, of all of it. And so what is separates us, and I say this as well, like with AI, you know, we've managed to create something that really compounds all of the things that we believe about ourselves, that we're not intelligent enough. Like, we've actually, like, that ship has sailed, right? Like, we've created something that will be more intelligent than the most intelligent human being on the planet in 2030, if not sooner. But the heart, that is the, our hearts are next level. Like, they are, it's for, we have to bring that online as a collective, because it's the future. You know, we are not returning through the mind. That's done. It's like we have to step into this treasure trove of that is we've been sitting on. Like, it's, and I call it, it's like, for me, it's like, this is the superpower. You know, this is our superpower. And we may be afraid. And if you're listening to this, I see so many people who are afraid. And I just say, take one step at a time. You know, there's nothing inside you that is going to frighten you more than separation. Because separation, when we spend a life in separation, it is a life of suffering, you know. And this return, although you have to go through, you know, sometimes a few dark nights of the soul, but this return brings you into this coherence that is, for me, it's the future. It's our future. It's what our future
Absolutely.
depends on.
I couldn't say it better. Thank you. Well, we're going to do a heart meditation together using a technique we call the heart lock-in, because it helps you lock on to that coherent frequency that can help access more of your heart's wisdom. It synchronizes heart, brain, and nervous system, and the research shows. But that's we actually starts opening that door to the heart. It locks onto the heart and locks us in as we practice it. It's a simple technique, and many of you have probably done something similar before, but it needs practice to keep us connected with our heart's frequency and our heart's guidance to create that higher intelligence and more ease and flow in life. So let's do this together. Let's focus our attention in the area of the heart. You can put your hand on your heart if it helps you keep your attention and focus there. Put your mind in your heart. Now imagine your breath is flowing in and out of your heart or chest area, just breathing a little slower and deeper than usual. Find an easy rhythm that's comfortable. Now, just as you continue this heart-focused breathing, activate or recall a renewing, regenerative feeling, such as a feeling of appreciation or care or love for someone or something in your life. If you can't feel it right away, just activate a feeling of calm and ease or an attitude of. Doing this combination of heart-focused breathing and feeling helps to activate and sustain a physiological state of heart coherence that synchronizes the heart rhythms, brain rhythms, and body rhythms. Now radiate that renewing feeling or attitude to yourself, to all the cells of your body, and out to others. Radiating that heart energy helps to renew and sustain it in your body, in your system, which is why we call it a heart lock-in. And radiating it out to others helps expand it and extend it, and also helps to lock it in. So now let's radiate our heartfelt compassion to all of humanity, to the whole planet, suffering from stress and anxiety, and see that heart energy helping to lift the vibration, lift the spirit of people. Now let's close this heart meditation by co-creating a reservoir of heart energy. As we do this collectively, this reservoir is real, that each of us can tap into over the next month whenever we feel stressed or overwhelmed or just need a lift in spirit or support in reconnecting with our own heart. Thank you all for creating that and sharing that with me. Estelle, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just that it's been such a wonderful, such a pleasure and a wonder to be here with you. I've really, I'm just in awe of your work. I love everything you do at HeartMath and sending so much love out there to anyone who's listening.
Thank you. Well, all our listeners, it's a free gift. You can watch the HeartMath Experience, an online video learning course available on the HeartMath websites. Go to the new HeartMath app, which is from the Google Play Store or the App Store. And that has a built-in heart coherence sensor where you can really see what's happening as you do heart meditations and heart techniques like the lock-in, to create and increase your heart coherence and heart power and connection with your heart's intuitive guidance. And I want to remind everyone that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new episode of the Add Heart podcast. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Thank you and take care.
Thank you for listening to the Add Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for HeartMath and also the HeartMath Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.